All right. Well, welcome once again to Belmont. I'm Pastor John. So good to be here with you this morning as we continue on in our series from Psalm 96, Sing to the Lord. And it's an honor to be able to sing to the Lord with you this morning. That is for sure. Last week we started out with verses 1 through 3, and we went through a message entitled Sing of His Salvation. And this Sunday, we're actually going to be doing a message called Sing of His Greatness. Because if you remember from last Sunday, we talked about the fact that we should sing of His salvation. In fact, the scripture just starts out saying, hey, sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. And we said, you know what? We should sing to the Lord a fresh song. Not necessarily always a brand new song with brand new words, but that as we sing, our life should be like a song to the Lord, and it should be fresh. And not only should it be fresh, but it should also be daily, because the scriptures tell us to sing of His salvation from day to day. And then we said, not only do we need to sing a new song, a fresh song, and not only do we need to sing a daily song, but we should also sing a shared song. Because this psalm is really neat in the fact that not only is it in the New Testament and it's part of the songbook of the Bible, the Psalms, but it's a missiological psalm. That is, it's a song that's about God's glory, yes, but it's also a psalm that's about the gospel, because it's calling believers to share this across the nations. And that's really unique and fresh and new, especially in this setting, as the Israelites are singing this and saying that the good news about God is not just for our nation. They would sometimes get tripped up and think that they were more special than they really were, because, yes, they were God's chosen people. But the good news about Jesus has always been for everybody. Amen? And so this is for all the nations. And so they would sing these songs. In fact, Jesus would sing this song, because Jesus, born into a Jewish community, Jewish young man growing up, would sing the Psalms. And he would sing these songs. I think it was really neat to think about in a unique way, because he's singing this song about sharing the good news to all the nations. He's like, hey, that's another one about me. And so he knew that, he sang that, and it's a good song to sing. So today, we're going to be singing of His greatness in verses 4 through 6. We're going to do this every week. We're actually going to read the verses all the way through, though. There's only 13 of them. Let me encourage you to memorize every single one of those verses, because I think it'll do your heart good to do that, to commit this to memory, so that you could sing this song anytime, anywhere. Amen? In fact, to inspire us and to take us through this, I'm actually going to have Whitney Williams come forward. She was on a mission trip with us to Puerto Rico a few weeks back. And Whitney, go ahead and come on up where everybody can see you and hear you the best. How about that? Let's give Whitney a round of applause. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Psalm chapter 96 so you can follow along and make sure she doesn't make any errors. I'm just kidding. But she's going to take us as far as she can from memory. And then if she needs any help, she's got the Bible there. Thank you, Whitney.
Thanks. All right. Just bear with me. I get nervous in front of people. So, all right. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare of His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the people. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared among all gods, for all the gods of the people are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in splendor. Worship the Lord in splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established, it shall never be moved. He will judge the people with equity. Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all it fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. And everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and his people in his faithfulness.
Amen. All right. Good job. All right, there is Psalm 96 right there for you. Let me encourage you again to take up the challenge to memorize God's Word. It is totally possible. A child can do it, an adult can do it, and it'll be a blessing to your soul this week. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for giving us these songs about you. Lord, I pray that as we study it and as we sing it, Lord, I pray that it would inspire us to worship you more boldly, more loudly, more correctly. And Lord, I pray that you would change us individually and as a church family, that you would shape us more into your image. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So, sing of his greatness. Today we're really hitting 4, 5, and 6, and you'll see verse 4 on the screen. And we're just going to work our way through these verses together. Verse 4 says this, "For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary." And so we start out there in verse 4 saying, "For great is the Lord." Now, why is he saying that? He's saying that because we just came off of verses 1, 2, and 3 that's telling us that we should sing a fresh song and we should sing it daily of his salvation and we should sing a shared song. That is, we should have a song that's being pushed out to the nations because it's so good and it's about such a good God. And why should we sing that? For great is the Lord. That's why. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. That's why we sing. And so today really is just answering the why question for us about why we should sing. And the first point there is this, is that we should sing of his greatness. His greatness inspires great praise, right? His greatness inspires great praise. For great is the Lord. You know, we forget a lot of times how great God is. We are always in danger of making ourselves and our life that we've built for ourselves the greatest thing in our universe. But the truth of the matter is that God is the one who is great, and we are not. And so we should sing of the Lord, for he is great, and he's greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. You know, when something is great, you sing about it greatly. In fact, it inspires you to sing. We just recently celebrated the 4th of July, the independence of our country. And one of the things that inspires people to do is to sing the Star Spangled Banner. It inspires us to shoot off some fireworks, right? In fact, I got scared last night laying in my bed because I live a few blocks away from here in Southeast Roanoke. And never fails. I mean, it's like a month before and a month after 4th of July, people, it's not one day here in Southeast, right? And I don't know necessarily that it's because they love their country. I think it's because they love fireworks. But I'm laying in bed and boo-boo! I'm like, oh my Lord, what in the world is going on? And it just goes on. I'm like looking out the window trying to get a free fireworks show. And so great things inspire song in us. We see this at a college football game where they're singing their college song, right? And you've got 70, 80,000 people singing the same song because they find this game of football to be great. But here the psalmist is telling us that God is truly indeed the great one and that we should be inspired to sing greatly because of how great he is. He is to be feared above all gods. So inherent in this idea of greatness is this kind of awe, this kind of fear that it strikes in your heart. And it's easy for us to want to put things in this world and idolize things in this world and make them greater than in our minds than God is. But the truth is that he is the greatest of all. And we see throughout this psalm that he really goes to creation to inspire us, to remind us of how great God is and how really kind of a small speck we are in all of it. We don't like to think that. But really, the planet Earth, in light of the entire visible universe, is just merely a speck of a dust. In fact, they say that if you were to shrink the planet Earth down to just one tiny grain of sand, can you see that? There's nothing there. But if there was a grain of sand in my hand, That grain of sand, if you were to compare that to, say, just our solar system, then you would have to go down to the Berglund Center, to a building that size, and say, compared to just our solar system, the Earth is like this piece of sand. And you could take it all over the Berglund Center, and you could compare it to every stair, every wall, every chair, and you would see that you could easily lose it amongst the greatness of the Berglund Center. But then if you were to take our solar system and shrink it down to just a tiny speck of sand, and you were to compare it to our galaxy, then once again, it would be like the Berglund Center, but 1,000 times bigger. That's how tiny Earth is, how tiny really our solar system is, and how great our galaxy is. But then once again, you could take our Milky Way galaxy and you could shrink it down to the grain of sand, and once again, it would be compared, generally speaking, these are not specifics, right, to like the Berglund Center, to a huge building like that, to say, man, when you think about it, we're just really this tiny speck of sand. Even within our own galaxy, there's 300 billion stars. 300 billion. And they say there's over 100 billion galaxies. So this is mathematically, it's mind-blowing, but there's actually more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand on the Earth. Isn't that mind-boggling? In fact, God's greatness is mind-boggling. That's what makes it so great, is that I can give you those numbers and those figures and those pictures, and you can go, oh, wow, that's really big. You didn't get it, right? You don't know what I'm talking about. I don't even know what I'm talking about. That's how great God is that really we can begin to scratch the surface on like, wow, that's really big. But we've never traveled throughout the galaxy to see just the vast emptiness, to see the amazing amounts of stars, to see all the wonders that humans have not yet and maybe never will lay their eyes on. But in order to sing a song, if you're here this morning and you would say, honestly, Pastor, my song in my heart has dried up. My song in my heart, my spiritual song, has just really become just a mumble. Or maybe just I'm humming a little bit, but I'm not doing much singing. You know what the problem could be, according to the psalmist? It could be that you've forgotten who you're singing about. It could be that you've forgotten how great God is and that he is to be praised greatly. Not just a little bit, not just in the back row, like, oh, this is my song. My song. How many times are we going to repeat this? I don't like this song. No. The greatness of God should inspire you and me to sing greatly to our God. Sing of his greatness, and his greatness inspires great praise. But not only does his greatness inspire great praise, but his greatness is sung by creation. Well, what are you talking about there? Well, verse 5 says this, "For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens." You see this all throughout. It's talking once again about his greatness, and his greatness is sung or it's shown by creation. The Lord made the heavens. He leads that sentence off really by saying that all the gods of the peoples, they're worthless idols. If you think about the fact that the Lord is the one that made the heavens, he's the one that made the entire universe, the galaxies, the solar systems, the planets, the grains of sand. He made all of that. Then, of course, it makes sense to say that all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. They're made-up gods. They're not real. They've only been created or crafted out of something that was only created by the maker God, right? Amen? And so they're not actually real. And so we want to be able to say as lovingly as possible that we love everyone. But the people who worship any other god besides the God of the Bible are worshiping something that is completely worthless. That could be idols that you and I have in our own lives. People like you and me who would say, yeah, of course. I would never go over to a foreign country and worship a stick that's been carved out by somebody and stuck in the ground. That doesn't make sense to me. And yet, many might go home right after church and for 4 hours straight sit in front of a box and worship it and give all your attention to it. And anybody else that comes and gets in the way, you'll say, move, move, get out of here, be quiet, go to your room. Is that an idol? That can be an idol. There's lots of things that have the potential, when they get out of balance, not to be legalistic, but they can become idols for you and for me. And then, of course, there's many other idols that are more formalized things. Like, I love people who worship Allah, but those people are not worshiping God. They are worshiping a worthless idol, because Allah is not God. Jesus is God. Amen? We love people who are Buddhists, but we don't believe that what they worship is just as true or just as valid as the God of the Bible. The Bible says about those gods that they are worthless idols. It's not mean-spirited or hateful to say that other things are not God, because those things aren't. We're simply sharing what the Bible, the truth of the Scriptures, is telling us to say. And the most loving thing we can do is, if we know the Creator God who has created every single atom and every single planet in the entire universe, if you know Him and have a living, loving relationship with Him, one of the most loving things you can do is to sing boldly and lovingly about that God and let it point out the fact that other things that are worshipped are just worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. God is so great that it should inspire praise, that even the creation is singing this song about His greatness, and is displaying how great He is, and we get so caught up on small things. Let me give us another little picture here of how this plays out in our own lives, because you might say, well, Pastor, how can I use this practically in my own life? Well, the fact of the matter is that when we forget how great God is, what we begin to do in our own lives is we begin to build in there control that we want to have. But when we say that God is great, that means He is in control, and we are not. He's in control. Did anybody wake up this morning and readjust any of the planets to make sure all the timing was just right? Did anybody wake up this morning and get a report on which stars had burned out in the entire galaxy overnight? Is there an overnight in the galaxy? I don't think there is. No, because our world is really much smaller than that. We need to be able to look outside of it and try as best we can, even though we can't fully do that, and see just a glimpse of how great God is, and let that inspire our hearts. I'm not trying to point out your attention to this table here. What I'm trying to point out to you is my family's new fish. We had some dear friends who just moved to China a few days ago, and they stopped by our house for one last visit, and in a mason jar, they had this betta fish, and so they were showing it to us, and we were saying our goodbyes and praying together and wishing them well and doing what you do when you say goodbye to someone that you love. And then they left, and they got in their van, and they were driving to where they were going to be flying from. And then we realized we're really good friends, because they're the kind of friends that can leave stuff at your house without asking permission, right? By the way, we left our fish with you. We did that on purpose. Okay, we just got a new fish. So my kids have named this fish Jeffrey. So if you'd like to come up and meet Jeffrey after, feel free to do that. But Jeffrey has a very limited view of life, much like I do, and perhaps much like you do. Jeffrey has a limited view. He thinks this is the entire universe. He thinks inside of there is where all the world is, and he's the king of his domain. And he can decide how he wants things and where he wants to swim. And he looks out a little bit, and perhaps if he pays attention just a little bit, he can be amazed at how good-looking you guys are. I'm like, wow, look at all these beautiful people. This is so amazing to look around. Whoa, look at those chandeliers up there. Look at all the those stars. I've heard about stars. Some of them are burned out. And that's his limited view. And you and I can be the same way in that we get caught up in our little box and we try to fit God inside of our box and make him make sense out of everything that we do and make him have our life go the way that we want it to. And once in a while, we'll glance around and we'll go, wow, that is great. Okay, back to what I was doing. But the fact of the matter is that we could carry Jeffrey all around Roanoke, right? And he would go, whoa, I thought the car ride here this morning was a little scary, but going all over Roanoke and seeing all these wonderful things that I've never seen before. Whoa, are you kidding me? The Mill Mountain Star? Who knew these things existed? And we make fun of that, and maybe we can see it a little bit better in Jeffrey than we can see in our own lives to go, well, that's funny. That's ridiculous. But imagine the illustrations that I was showing you about the grains of sand and how they compare. When it compares to how great God is and everything he's created in this universe that we can never know. It can be a lot like that. But we can shrink ourselves down and we begin to try to control every single thing in here. Like betta fish, they love to clean things, right? And so there's some of you guys here that that's part of how you control your world. You keep things clean. You keep things orderly. You keep things in control in your box. And if anybody gets out of that box, wham, you better watch out. Because I'm controlling my space. And I need it to be this way. Because that's how it functions. And that's how I convince myself that I'm in control. And so we do that in a whole lot of different ways. And I'm not asking you this morning to stop being neat and clean. Please be clean. But what I am asking you to do is take a step back and think about eternity. Think about how great God is. Think about how you're spending your time. If your house is super clean and your neighbors have never heard the name of Jesus, if your neighbors don't know that you love Jesus, and they have no clue where you are going when you get in your car on a Sunday morning. And you've intentionally maybe stayed away because that's kind of messy and I'm a neat person. And that could possibly disrupt the way that I've controlled my life and my setting. And they're needy. Or they're over there acting like the world. Go figure. They're doing things that maybe I used to do, but now I think I've somehow saved myself and that I deserve God's salvation. And I forget that God's salvation didn't make sense for me. It was only by God's grace that I came to know him. And the same is true for them. And the same power that was in the blood to save me has the same power to save anybody and everybody on my entire street and in my entire city. And so I should be willing to let go of my control in order to say I want to think in terms of eternity. And I want to be the kind of person that I need to be. And whatever it is, whether it's my cleanliness, whether it's my worshiping an idol, you figure that out by just taking a look at how you use your time, by what you want people to think about you, by what you're scared of, by what your fears are. Because too many times we put the fear of man above the fear and the awe of the God who spun it all into being and cost him no energy. His greatness cannot be hidden. Why do you say that? Well, verse 6 says this, splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Wherever God goes, his splendor is His majesty, this kingly ideas of who he is are going before him. They're paving the way. They're rolling out the red carpet. It cannot be hidden. And so we want to be able to sing songs about that, and we don't want to be people who hide our light or, you know, try to tuck it away, but really give God the glory that is due his name. Splendor and majesty are before him. They're always before him. It's too wonderful for us to comprehend. It's too majestic for us to be able to worship well enough for, but we should do our best. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. You see, God is holy. He's whole. He's complete. He's everything. And so in his sanctuary is where he resides. Wherever God is, that is his sanctuary. And so strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Our God is not just a one-sided, lopsided God. He is a God that where strength, power reside and beauty reside at the same time. In our limited world, we sometimes think that those two things don't go together, but they actually do in God. You see, God is the most powerful, all-powerful God of creation. And yet at the same time, the most beautiful artistic being ever. So he created in great power, and what he created, even the remnants that are left now for us to see, the original being way better and more than we can even imagine right now. With that power and that beauty, he created you. He didn't make a mistake with you. He created this universe with that power and that beauty. And that power and that beauty are in his sanctuary. It cannot be hidden. Everywhere he goes, there it is. That is the God that we sing about. That is the God that we worship. That is the God that we praise, that we rejoice. And our prayer this month is just that more and more we'll wrap our minds around that. We'll let go of our small ideas about who God is, and we'll invite in these greater thoughts as we memorize, as we commit it to our hearts, as we quote it to other believers, and we'll be inspired to sing this song of salvation everywhere we go. Amen. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes.